Thank you for tuning in to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible on KEQX 89.7. The views, opinions, beliefs, and content expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition and its agents. The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed may not be the same as those on KEQX or any of its agents. This show is brought to you by the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. And I'm here with my good friend and partner on this radio program, Tom Moore, who is the gospel preacher for the Park Heights congregation in Hamilton, Texas. And we'd like to invite you to this live call-in talk show, and we want to give you your phone number right now, 254-445-2473. Let me repeat that, 254-445-2473. We oftentimes bring up topics that are close to home, and this is one of those radio programs that is going to do that today. We're going to look at what God's Word has to say. We're going to look at what man has to say, and we're going to compare the two. And, of course, God is always going to come out on the top on this. We're going to be talking about God's standards today. Before we get too far into this program, we want to let you know that we want to let you know that we're also on the web, streaming live, and the web address is www.harrisonmoore.org. And if you'll go on there, we'll just follow the instructions. You can get, you can pick us up live. There are also some archived later show or earlier shows that have been that are there for you to listen to. We are here at KEQX 89.7 in Stephenville, also KQXE 91.1 in Eastland. And we have this thing spread out all over the country now. We're mostly over the big country, so we would invite your calls and your comments and your questions about what God would have us to do, and we will give you a Bible answer. What we are going to do today is talk about God's standards. We're going to take a little break from the conversions in Acts and the life of Paul in the book of Acts. And we're going to look at some of God's standards today. It seems to be, and Tom and I have talked about this on numerous occasions, the radical homosexual agenda. If you'll just back off and look at it, about every 3 weeks, some kind of a radical thing will rear its ugly head and make the headlines. This time it has made the headlines in a very, very local, close to home fashion. We have a policy at Walmart that has reared its ugly head over an employee that works there. And we want to look at God's standards on all of this. What does God's Word have to say about what is going on here? Now, we'll tell you what Walmart has to say about it. We'll tell you what men have had to say about it. We'll tell you what the laws of the land have to say about it. But what we're really interested in is what God's Word has to say about it. And as we look at this problem, we see that there is a company policy with Walmart right here in Stephenville, Texas, reportedly created a stink in Stephenville. The issue centered on the restroom rights of one employee, a pre-opt transsexual who, despite having male genitalia, identifies himself as a woman. And Walmart's anti-discrimination policy allows this employee to use the woman's restroom. Now, we're going to comment on this. This has caused quite a stink with a lot of people, mainly because we have one person dictating the rights of many and violating the rights of others just because they have come up with this idea that they can do anything they want to because they have this idea in their head that they are someone that they are really not.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing, David, that a person who is born with male genitals can claim that they're a woman,
mm-hmm.
or a woman born with female parts claiming to be a man.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the very beginning, David, in Genesis chapter 1, we see a very important lesson, a very important standard that God sets forth concerning male and female. You'll notice in Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, and God said, this is what God said.
Mm-hmm.
God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. All right. So God said that he created male and female. How do you think God knew what was what?
Well, because he put it together that way. There,
exactly.
There is definitely a difference, Tom. And for people to say that there is no difference, they're violating every concept and every principle of righteousness that God ever put out there.
You know, if a person, you know, we were talking past week, we were at camp, and Michael Light mentioned about a farmer. What
mm-hmm.
was that he was telling us about that farmer?
Well, if a person comes up and tells you that they're a farmer, well, you can ask them. What makes you a farmer? Do you have a tractor? No. Well, do you have a piece of ground to plow? No. Have you ever planted anything? No. Do you have any equipment to go on the tractor? No. Well, then what is it that makes you a farmer? Just because you call yourself a farmer, does that make you a farmer?
Well, you know, when we make that parallel, when we are asked them, what makes you a woman? Well, do you have breasts? Well, no. Do you have a vagina? Well, no. Well, what makes you think you're a woman? Just because you say you're a woman, does that make you a woman?
No.
And so that's where the mix-up is, David. We're getting away from what really is, and we start to fantasize and start to think things that are not. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, in verse 24, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. There's a clear distinction between male and female. There's not some in-between. There's not some it. But there is male and female, and this is also a principle that's even taught in the New Testament as well, isn't it, David?
Absolutely. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus reiterates this very thing, that for this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Again, over in Ephesians chapter 5, when Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is writing about the instructions of what a family and what a home ought to be, he reiterates this very same thing that is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Now, the reason we're bringing this up, Tom, is because when you weaken God's standard by violating God's standard, you actually end up destroying God's standard. When you weaken the marriage, you have weakened the home. You weaken the home, you weaken the church. You weaken the church, you weaken the home, you weaken the marriage, you weaken the nation of the United States of America.
Exactly. People begin to walk in their own ways and violate God's ways.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walketh to direct his steps.
Right.
So people are getting away from God's standard,
mm-hmm.
what God says is, and start coming up with all kinds of fanciful and, well, just a perverted ideas of what a male or a female are. And yet, when you can just look very, that's easy to see, David. Are you a male or a female? Well, you know by the organs that you possess if you're male or female, and you can do all the thinking, all the wishing you want to, but you're still either male or female based upon the organ you possess.
Right, right. And so when we look at this, this individual remain nameless as far as I know, because I don't know his name, although he wants to be called a different name, according to the article that was written in the Stephenville paper. We are taking the information that was gained in that article, and we see that for several years now, this individual has worked for Walmart and has dressed as a woman. Now, there is a big problem with that. A lot of people say, well, there's nothing wrong with just dressing up like a woman. But what does God's Word have to say about that, Tom? You've got some scripture here for us. And for those of you that are out there that don't think that there is a problem with this, we're going to show you how the problem progresses. But we want to nail the problem down with God's Word, because you've heard that men have said, well, it really doesn't make any difference what you dress like or who you act like. Yes, it does.
Exactly. Now, take a pencil or a pen and write down this verse, Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5. That's Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. The text says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, that's a very clear and specific passage, David, that says when a man dresses up like a woman or a woman dresses up like a man, it is an abomination to God.
And so there is some kind of a perverted thinking that goes along with this abomination, does it not, Tom?
Exactly.
I mean, you can't be an abomination to God without being detestable to God. Now, why would someone be detestable? Because they have left the standard that God has set. God has set a distinct standard between what is male and what is female. When we start to cross that line, and the male starts to act like a female, or the female starts to act like a male, it is abomination to God. It is detestable to God. God will not have it.
You know, there's not a whole lot of things in the Bible that I'm aware of that God says is an abomination. But homosexuality, idolatry, and various mm-hmm. things like that, and along with this, cross-dressing.
Mm-hmm.
A man who is a man, wanting to be a woman, dressing like a woman, God says is an abomination. That's what God says. You know, you can say you're unloving or you just don't understand how I'm feeling. Maybe I don't, but I do know one thing. God says it's wrong. And if you have feelings that you've got to do that, then you need to change your feelings.
Absolutely.
We got to get it in line with what God says.
We call that temperance. God calls that temperance. Mm-hmm. One of the Christian graces, one of the fruits of the Spirit that every Christian must have, every God-fearing person upon the face of this earth. Now, I think what is interesting here, and God calls this abomination. He calls it abomination for a reason, because there is progression in this. You don't just start wearing women's clothes as a man and just call that good. It just, you know, that's not where it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
We can back this up just a little bit. According to the article written in the Stephenville paper, what we read here, it says the controversy began with the employee's request to be called Michelle. The name change was honored by the local store manager years ago, but some of his co-workers refused to call him by that name. He said, quote, I really got tired of people calling me sir. My name tag has Michelle for more than 2 years. Now, just because a person writes Michelle on a name tag doesn't mean that that's their name.
And just because you have farmer on the mailbox doesn't make you a farmer.
No, it does not. Nor does it make you a Christian if you sit in the church pew.
Exactly.
Any more than it'd make you a hen if you sit in the hen house. So we just can't go around changing things and expect everybody to honor that. But here is where it gets to what man has to say. The issue was most frustrating when dealing with another member of the local management team who, despite repeated requests, continued to refer to Michelle by his legal masculine name. And then he got frustrated with all of this and contacted the manager at the Human Resources Center in Abilene, Texas.
His legal name.
Mm-hmm.
they were calling him by his legal name. And she was upset, she thinks she's a she, that they didn't call her by the female name. You know, that just shows you that how this sin is progressing.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's evolving to getting even worse and worse. And they're doing the right things by calling his name by his legal name.
Right.
She wants something else. She's causing a fuss by it. He's causing a fuss by it. You know, and whenever we start transgressing God's law, well, we just wax worse and worse.
No doubt about it. Well, so what we see here is the beginning. I want you to call me Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I'm dressing up like Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to use a bathroom like Michelle uses a bathroom. This is where the problem is. He wants to go into the women's bathroom at Walmart and use the bathroom as Michelle, even though he is a man.
He says, I have the right to do this. Well, David, what about the rights of all the women who go to that bathroom? The employees, what about the rights of all the people who come into Walmart to shop? Are they going to be going into the bathroom and find a him in there in the dress? You know, where are their rights? Are we violating the rights of the many for the so-called right of the one?
Of the perverted thinker.
Yes.
Of the perverted thing. And we're talking about a perversion of thought here, because this is not God's standard. And we keep coming back to God's standard. When we violate God's standard, you can just, there is no end. There is no limit once the standard is violated here. And we're going to see what God shows. He warns us about the progression of this kind of thinking, about the progression of sin. And I think you've got James pulled up for us there in James chapter 1.
Yes.
We see the progression of sin as God's word defines progression of sin.
Exactly. In James chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Okay, so first of all, we have a lust. In First John chapter 2, verse 15, 16, we are told that there are three ways that Satan can tempt us. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life.
Mm-hmm.
Those three ways. One of those three ways. So James then says it is this lust. When we have a lust, whether that lust was a lust for wearing the women's clothes
it's
to begin with.
It's wanting something you're not supposed to have.
Exactly. It's an
in
evil
desire.
In this
case, it's trying to be something that you are not.
Exactly. And so when this lust conceives, it brings forth sin.
Mm-hmm.
And James says, and sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. Well, this sin's not finished yet.
That's right.
This sin is not finished yet. And we see this kind of progression over and over and over. And in the book of Joshua, in chapter 7, in verse 21, we see Achan and his progression of sin. And in verse 21, they ask him, why did you do it? He said, I saw it, I wanted it, and I took it.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's going on here. It is a progression of sin. The very same thing happened, if we'll all remember, back in the Garden of Eden, didn't it?
Exactly. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, the fruit that they were not to eat of, she saw it, she took it, she ate it.
Mm-hmm.
The progression of sin. Now, where is this all going to lead, David? Here is a man who says he's a woman, and now he wants to have the privilege to enter into the woman's bathroom, to use the bathroom where the women are. What's next?
Well, you know, you can run the gamut here.
Yeah.
For instance, what if, now all in the world he's saying, I want you to call me Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, this is a call-in talk show. If you want to enter into this conversation, the number to call is 254-445-2473. We welcome your calls. And if you've got a problem with this, if you've got a problem with God's standard, we want to hear the other side of it. We're talking about God's standard in all of this. Now, if this man can come up and demand by law, and by the way, we haven't finished this. The human resources manager at Abilene came up and said that they stood behind this man and were going to force people to call him Michelle. But not only that, they said you're going to have the privilege of using the ladies' restroom, and members of management should address me as Michelle. The very next day, that's what they told him. The very next day, July the 2nd, he said, I walked into the ladies' associate restroom without incident. Now here is the thing. This is all of a sudden a hostile working environment for every woman who understands God's standard between male and female. It becomes a hostile working environment for all of the employees, all of the women that work there at Walmart, because this one man said, I want to be called Michelle. I think that I want to be addressed as a woman, and there's nothing you can do about it.
And I don't understand why they would allow one person's perverted thinking to override all of the other employees. And it's not just the employees. This could also be any visitor, right?
Yeah.
That comes in, your wife or my wife going in there. Are they going to be in there with a man? You think they're going to like that? And how is that going to affect their business to have that kind of idea out there, where any man who decides he wants to be called a woman can go on into the woman's bathroom and really violate the privacy of every woman in that restroom? I believe we have a caller on the line. A caller, if you'll give us your name and comment or question, we'd appreciate it.
This is Jason.
Jason.
And I am looking at something here. I think I'm about a minute or two behind y'all on the feed this evening over the internet, but I'm looking at something right here. If the company is allowing him to use the women's restroom, the state of Texas recognizes that as disorderly conduct, and she could be ticketed for that. And I'm thankful we still have such a thing on our books in this particular state. Apparently, there's about 16 other states plus Washington D.C. that allow them to do whatever they want to do. But, you know, I mean, I'm sorry that this is something that just is disturbing, to say more than the least, you know, that somebody is allowed to do that. But why people can't get from the scripture, I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 11:14 right now, just, you know, is nature itself. You know, that particular verse says, does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a shame unto him? Nature itself shows us that something like this is a shame. You can argue the traditional view of 1 Corinthians 11:14 all you want, but the nature itself shows that this is wrong. And that word shame that is there is disgrace, is what that word means. It's a disgrace to you. It's infamy. It's horrible. You shouldn't do something like that. Anyway, that's what I wanted to throw in there as far as something legal and from the scripture as far as it's concerned.
Well, I'm interested in the legality of this. You know, what we have not yet covered, Jason, I appreciate this call, because Walmart, you know, that they're the last man standing as far as upholding family traditional values. But Walmart has a policy. Now, I don't know how much weight a policy in a company holds, but he says, quote, our policies are in place to prevent discrimination or harassment. Now, this is from the Walmart Association. So at what point is this discrimination, and at what point does this become what you called it in that law that you read? Would you repeat that?
Disorderly conduct. I'm looking at an article online right now about a man, who was ticketed for disorderly conduct at Parkland Hospital in Dallas for doing the same thing. That there was a complaint that a man was in the women's restroom. This is a transgender, transsexual, whatever they want to call them, individual who says he/she has been transitioning since 2006. She said she met a female patient when walking out and said, "That's a man," and she said, this person, I don't know whether to say he or she, ignored her and kept going, and then a Parkland officer did give her a citation for that, and her driver's license shows her as a male. This person in Stephenville, their driver's license still has to show them as a male. So, therefore, and, you know, as far as the name that they're called, just as, by the way, is someone who formerly managed retail stores and had to do payroll tax stuff and things like that. How does this person's paycheck come in? I guarantee you it comes into their legal name.
Sure,
it does. You can't make it out to someone else. So I think the manager was right. It's not harassment. Harassment would be him making fun of and maybe egging this person's car and pulling their hair or whatever. That's not what he did is not harassment. I had a right as a boss not to call somebody by a nickname, and if I didn't like their nickname, I wasn't going to call them by that. And that's the way I would look at this as far as a legal sort of thing. Of course, now that's just me.
You know, when we look at this whole issue, Jason, how do we know even that these who claim to be something they're not, how do we really know that they're just not a pervert and trying to get there and look at women? How do we know that? You know, a person can say all they want to that I'm a woman when he's really a man, but how do we know behind the scenes that they just don't have an agenda? You know, we know of evils occurring like that in our world, don't we?
Right. Well, so, and, you know, the thing that even this, I don't know what to call them, he, she, ought to consider, and I hate to use a term like that because it makes me sound like a bigot or whatever, but this particular person, they need to consider that if they were actually a female, would they want some man going into the restroom?
Well, you know, to this person's credit, after the controversy was started, the article goes on to say that the internal conflict led her or him to relinquish his or her rights, and quote, "It's not worth hurting the store by going into the ladies' restroom," he said. But despite the scuttlebutt, Walmart's still standing right there behind old Michelle here. So Michelle's backed off of it, which kind of surprises me. But you know, to his credit, he did back off of it. The problem is we're upside down in this society and totally disregarding the standards of God from the very beginning of time concerning male and female.
Right here, I just did find, and I'll get off the phone after. I just did find something. It says I just found an article that says Texas law prohibits this. So there was another one who was arrested at the Houston Public Library for the same thing. So
maybe Walmart needs to read the Texas law before they start making these indictments or these laws of their own, you know, violating
right.
the laws of the land.
Right.
Well, at least we have them going.
that's my two cents. I'll let y'all keep going.
I appreciate you calling in, Jason.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate the call. We have several things that have happened, Tom, and 3 weeks ago we were talking about President Obama. Maybe it was more than 3 weeks. Maybe it was 6 weeks ago. President Obama endorsing same-sex marriages, and when he did that in a very, very public way. When he did that, all of a sudden we had all these people that were emboldened to do things, and we had Starbucks coming out endorsing same-sex marriages, and Target and JCPenney's, and now DC Comic Books has come out with a homosexual relationship in a comic book, of all things. Mm-hmm. We've got Home Depot promoting this kind of garbage, and it is what I call garbage because it is totally an opposite of what the Word of God and the standard of God teaches in this area.
Exactly. Well, we're up against a break. We have a lot more we want to say about this. We want you to remember that our number is 254-445-2473, and if you'd like to talk about this or you have any questions, we encourage you to call us on the other side of the break.
Someday when my last line is written,
we spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families. More conveniences but less time. More medicine but less wellness. We read too little, watch TV too much, and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of tall men and short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes but more divorce, of a fancier house but broken homes. We've learned how to make a living but not a life. We've added years to life but not life to years. We've cleaned up the air, but we have polluted the soul. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We at the Hillcrest Church of Christ invite you to worship with us every Sunday morning at 9:30 and 10:30 a.m., also at 6 p.m. in the evening services. Midweek services at 7 o'clock. Allow the Lord to put your life back together again.
Amazing grace.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float even with some water in its bulkheads. They thought the 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought even after the ship had struck an iceberg that there was no cause for alarm. Everything would be all right. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of man, but rather only heed the Word of God. Jesus stated that only those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. The Park Heights Church of Christ would like to welcome you to come and worship with us. We have Bible studies for all ages each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and our worship time begins each Sunday at 10:25 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Bible studies for all ages each Wednesday at 7 p.m. And the Park Heights Church of Christ, we stand in the old paths and we speak the truth in love. That
grace appears. Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. We have been discussing today a very disturbing incident that has taken place and is taking place in Stephenville concerning a man who claims to be a woman and wanting to use the female restroom, even though he indeed is a man. And, you know, we looked at, in the very beginning of time, God said that He created man in His own image. One of the things we realized was that God did not say, Adam, what do you want to be? Do you want to be a man or do you want to be a woman? Well, God created him as a man. And no matter what he wanted, he still was going to be a man. We've seen also earlier today in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse 5 that it is an abomination in the sight of God for a man to dress like a woman and for a woman to dress like a man. We've noted how that sin just progresses. It gets worse and worse. And when we allow these kinds of evils to take place, well, our society is just going to go further and further and further in an abomination, as an abomination in the sight of God. We've noted how that sin progresses when President Obama sanctioned same-sex marriage. Well, it wasn't very soon when Penny's and Target began to come out with their homosexual agenda. And so we've got to realize that whenever we start transgressing God's law, we're just going to find ourselves digging ourselves deeper into a very immoral society. And David, when you look at history, we can learn a lot of great things from history.
Mm-hmm.
We can learn some sad things from history. But one of the things we learn was the fall of the Roman Empire. When we look at our society and what we see in the Roman Empire, we see some very very scary parallels, don't we, David?
Yes, we do, because we are right now in the process and have been for about the last 10 or so years, and more especially in the last 3 to 5 years, we have seen a purposeful, pointed destruction of the home by the homosexual radical agenda that's out there. And if you can destroy the home, you can destroy the nation. You can destroy everything about the nation. But when you look back at history, when you look back at the Roman Empire, now this was not the only thing that caused the Roman Empire to fall. But it certainly contributed to the demise of the strength of the Roman Empire, which was once the strongest nation, the strongest empire upon the face of this earth. Now, rampant homosexuality was a symptom of the moral decay of the Roman Empire that led to that eventual collapse, Tom.
Exactly. You know, and Dr. Carl Zimmerman in 1947 wrote a book called Family and Civilization. He studied the decline of several civilizations and empires and discovered 8 patterns of domestic behavior that signaled the decline of a civilization, which included Rome. And notice what he found. He said there was the breakdown of marriage and the rise of divorce, the loss of traditional meaning of the marriage ceremony, the rise of feminism, increased public disrespect for parents and authority in general, acceleration of juvenile delinquency, promiscuity, and rebellion, refusal of people with traditional marriages to accept their family responsibilities, a growing desire for an acceptance of adultery, an increasing interest in and spread of sexual perversion, including homosexuality, and sex-related crime.
Now, you're telling me that this was written in 1947 concerning other nations before 1947 that had collapsed, and this was the progression that they went under. And did not we read this in James chapter 1 just a moment ago?
Exactly.
In James chapter 1, the progression of sin. First you have lust, and then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. The death of a nation right here because of the moral collapse of the people.
Remember that this is a live call-in talk show, and we'd like for you to call in with your comments or questions about this very issue that's facing our world today. The number to call is 254-445-2473. Every historian, even modern homosexual revisionists, admit that Rome was riddled with homosexuals. Hadrian, one of the best emperors, traveled the empire with a youthful lover. Antonius, Caligula, and Nero were accused of having sex with just about anyone or anything.
Now, Caligula, by the way, and Nero were emperors at the time of the writing of the book of Revelation.
So exactly right.
And so we have a direct parallel here to all of the information that we have in the book of Revelation. We have a direct link to the Roman Empire being the place where Jesus Christ was going to build his church, and did, under the Roman Empire, under the rule of these Roman kings, and the fall of the kingdom during this time. Caligula and Nero, secular history will point out that they were right in the middle of it.
You know, and it's very scary, David, when you look at this list of items that Carl Zimmerman set forth, the divorce and the breakdown of the marriage and feminism and promiscuity and homosexuality and all these things, and you look at that list of eight that I just read,
mm-hmm.
and you look in our world, you see the exact same things taking place in our day.
Yes.
Now, if nations in time past did not escape their destruction because of items like this, what makes us think that America is going to escape destruction if we keep traveling the path that we are?
Well, you see, the strength of a nation lies in the home that God designed.
Exactly.
Not the home that man designed, but the home that God designed. The home that man designed has a man and a woman living together without the bonds of matrimony. The home that a man designs is a home that the President of the United States says is just as equally as wholesome as the one that God designed, a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman. These things are abomination to God, and if they are abomination to God, they will eventually cause the demise of the nation. It will cause the moral decay and the absolute destruction of a nation, because as the home goes, so goes the nation.
Exactly. Now, we have another caller on the line. A caller, if you'll give us your first name and question or comment, we sure would appreciate it.
Well, this is Harlan, but I just wanted to tell you, I passed by a church today, and it was a quote from Ronald Reagan, and it said, if you forget that we live under one nation, under God, then we will have one nation that's under. And I strictly believe that, and I read nothing in the Bible that says what y'all are talking about is right. I don't think there's a quote in there that says that homosexual is right. And it is truly wrong, and I just can't take it.
Well, you know, Harlan, you're exactly right. The only, you know, when it does mention homosexuality and cross-dressing, it always says it's wrong and evil, doesn't it?
That's right.
It also, we are told in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin, which we're talking about homosexual in this particular case, sin is a reproach to any people. So if we want to be exalted, we're going to have to look to the righteousness of God. And this will get back to the quote that you read of Ronald Reagan. If we forget that we're under the leadership of God and under the direction of God, if we forget the founding fathers' constitutional document that is based upon the Word of God in our Bible, if we forget that, we're going to be toast. We're not going to be a nation for very long, Harlan.
Well, that is my, you know, it scares me. I tell you what, I'm a Christian, but what I'm saying is, there are so many people that gets off so left-handed, you know, and I don't understand that. I don't know. I can't understand where it comes from, but it's just awful, and it's a working on our nation, and I don't know really how you handle it, but I tell you what, I guess we need to witness more for God. I don't know. That's the only thing I can figure.
Well, if we don't stand up and stem the tide that we're traveling, we are going to be in big, big trouble. And we need people like you, Harlan, who are willing to speak out against this type of atrocity. And when we all start teaming up together and voting the right kind of people in to stop this thing is the only chance we have of remaining a nation under God.
I'll tell you what I think. It's starting in grade school. We've got folks that these kids got parents that don't know God. And they're raising multitudes of children, and it is just they don't come to church or anything. And I'll tell you what, when it comes right down to it, we're destined, you know. And I don't worry so much about it for myself. But I do for my grandkids.
Yeah. There you go.
You know, Harlan, when they start telling our young people at a very young age, you know, you may not be a man, you might be a girl, and you start putting that in their mind when they're really young, they're going to be confused. They start confusing them this homosexual thing.
That's some people. If some people knew that, that's educators. They need to step in right there. So I don't know what the solution is. But it just tires me up to know about, think about that.
Well, Harlan, what we need to do is do more speaking out. What we have been a people who have been just silent and watch this thing grow and escalate, and there is a progression in all of this, every bit of it. As we read our Bibles, we see that evil men wax worse and worse as time goes on. You don't stay the same. Nothing ever stays the same as far as evil goes. It just progressively gets worse and worse and worse. Well, that's what the Bible says. That's exactly what the Bible says.
Yeah,
well, Harlan, we really appreciate
it.
We appreciate.
And my gosh, there's going to have to be a lot more godly people come across to try to get this. And I'm going to tell you what, the way I see it right at the moment, there's a lot more ungodly than they are godly, and it's going to be a tough fight. Look to me like.
Exactly. Well, we really appreciate your call, Harlan, and your concern for the evils that are on in the world, and we need people like you who are willing to speak out.
Well, I just wanted to tell you what I saw on that, but if we're not one nation under God, we're doomed.
Yes, sir. You're correct. There is never a nation ever stood
That's
without
true.
God at the base.
All right, thank you.
Well, thank you for calling, Harlan. Great call. Appreciate you listening in and calling. And you know, Harlan, Tom, is just exactly right. And one of the reasons that we have such a problem today is that people have forgotten who God is and what God is.
Exactly.
They've forgotten the power. They have forgotten the omniscience. They have forgotten the creation that He has made. And when we look at it all, we can take it right back to us teaching the evolutionary theory in our school system, and we've got people confused as to where they come from. And when those kids are confused where they come from, then they're confused about who they are. And if they're confused about who they are, they're confused about their sexuality. And if they're confused about their sexuality, they're asking questions like you mentioned just a moment ago. Can I be? Is it possible for me to be something that I am? I'm not.
Exactly. You know, and it's very clear, David, that the scriptures condemn homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13 in the Old Testament clearly condemns homosexuality. In the New Testament, Romans chapter 1 clearly condemns homosexuality. Male and female relationships are the only sexual relationship that's allowed in the Bible.
Right.
But homosexuality is not really the core issue, is it, David?
No, it's not. And I think Harlan hit on the issue there. The real issue is when a nation turns its back on God. That is the real issue. It's not about homosexuality. It's not about cross-dressing. It's not about promiscuity. It's not about the divorce, marriage, and remarriage thing. It's about turning our back on God and His standard.
Exactly. And as long as we keep doing that, and we allow our nation to do that, we allow our politicians to do that, and we allow our Walmart or Target to push their agenda in this area, well, we're just going to get worse and worse.
No doubt about it. Have we got a call, Robert?
Yes.
Okay, caller, would you give us your first name and your question or your comment, please?
Yes, my name is Morgan, and I wanted to go back to that article you're talking about, the Zimmerman article.
Yes.
In that article, it also lists feminism as a fall of these nations.
Yes.
So we're not going to also touch on that. Is feminism bad for an evolving society?
Well, the feminism that is mentioned here is not taking away of someone's right. It is demanding more of a right than the man has. We're equal under this law. If you look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And so the man is the head of the house. There's no doubt about that. But we are equal in the sight of God in that we are to submit ourselves one to another. But when you get into feminism, it is a demand of something more for the woman than for the man. It's demanding more of one gender than of the other. And this is exactly what is going on with Michelle over there at Walmart. Is he not demanding more for himself than he would than anybody else in the entire store is demanding?
I mean, I do agree that is wrong for the fact that he's still legally a man. But if you were to change his identity and have on his driver's license he's legally a woman,
mm-hmm.
then constitutionally we really wouldn't have any say about that. So I don't entirely agree with that argument. But it's just I disagree with this list that you bring from 1947. Claiming that it was the feminism that caused it, divorce. I mean, you're talking about nations from back in Roman ages, you know, the 1400s, 1500s. These countries were all about conquering and destroying other countries, and their fall happened from in. And so, of course, it would be breakdown of the family unions and all that. It would cause the fall of a country that is a aggressive, dominating, imperialistic country. But the United States has stepped back from after the Spanish-American War, so we're no longer going to be an imperialist country. So that the evolving society that we have doesn't necessarily cause a collapse.
Well, I don't understand what you're calling an evolving society, because the pattern and the standard that God has set forth does not evolve.
True, but you quote Leviticus against homosexuality, but it goes off about combining the cloth. That is a sin. And everybody, if you shop at the mall, you're combining your cloth. It talks about haircutting. Everyone gets haircuts. You know, there are certain passages, and I feel that we're nitpicking. We're not just examining the whole picture of what the Bible states, especially if we claim to be Christians, which is focusing on the word of Christ, Jesus Christ. And where can you really say that he condemns feminism or homosexuality? He is all about love and the lost and the confused. And it's not necessarily condemning people or saying that because of them, this society is falling.
Sure, he does. Where you're wrong, Morgan, is saying that he does not condemn it, because he does.
For example, Morgan, in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, it says, "For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Now that's a very clear condemnation of homosexuality. And God's love does not denounce that. As a matter of fact, God's love, that's the reason we have these condemnations, is because of God's love. He wants us to be right. He wants us to be a man and be with a female and not male and male and female and female. It has not been true from the very beginning. It's not true now. God wants man and woman, not man and man. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
But what you're saying is that it is a perversion of nature. In nature itself, homosexuality is prevalent throughout all species of animals.
All right. Name one.
The clownfish is a transgender species. It can change due to if it has too many males in its population and needs more females. It can change its gender once in its lifetime in order to repopulate.
How is that homosexuality?
That's transgender. I'm talking about transgender. They can change their actual gender. And who's to say the humans can't evolve to do that?
Well, even if your argument is true, we're not talking about human beings.
No, but we talk about nature. You ask example in nature where this happens, and that is one clear example. It's just throughout society. If you look at homosexuality anthropologically, it's a way of population control. You know, our populations are growing and they're peaking and they're about to decline, and we don't need to keep growing and having families of 15, you know, children, you know, and that's where homosexuality is kind of a population control for the fact that these people really can't repopulate. They can adopt and they can raise children. Who's to say a, you know, homosexual household is any different than a heterosexual household?
Well, it is very, very different from a heterosexual household. In the first case, homosexuality is condemned by God. It's condemned in the Old Testament. It's condemned in the New Testament. Homosexuals, we're told, cannot go to heaven. How about that one? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Homosexuals cannot go to heaven. Now, that being said, if you take a child and you teach that child to be a homosexual, what are you teaching that child to do?
How do you teach a child to become a homosexual?
How do you teach a child to become a homosexual?
When both parents, our so-called parents, are homosexuals, they're going to teach that very issue. They're going to teach that very thing. It's being taught in our schools many times. You know, and so it's something that's taught. It's not something that you just develop. It's something that you're being taught. We're not born homosexual. Because if we were, we'd be born in sin, and that's contrary to God's law. And as David mentioned there in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9, it is clearly a transgression of God's law, and we will not go to heaven. And so it's not some kind of, trying to prevent the world from being overpopulated, so we have homosexuals. That seems ridiculous.
Morgan, are you, hung up and, she's not there any longer. But what we see here, even with Morgan's call, we have a perverted view of the standard of God. Now, God has a standard. Now, whether you like the standard or whether you don't like the standard is irrelevant. That's not going to change the truth. The truth of the matter is we've got to be a man if we are a man, and we've got to be a woman if we're a woman, and man is going to marry a woman because this is God's standard for all mankind. We don't violate that standard just because we don't like it. And it's not for me to like, it's not for you to like, it's not for anybody to like or to dislike. It's for us to adhere to and to submit to as the children of God. We submit in the fear of God. We submit to the word and the will of God that is revealed to us in the Bible, Tom.
You know, there is a common misconception out there, David, you know, thinking that because God is a God of love, that he is going to overlook all of these perversions. You know, that is totally contrary to the scripture. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. Just because he's a God of love and he is love does not mean that he's going to overlook sin. Because he loves us, he tells us what is contrary to his will, so that we can do the right things and get to heaven. That's the God of love. The God of love is not one who overlooks evil and sin, but one who condemns it because he wants us to go to heaven.
Well, as we have seen here today, Tom, when we get away from the standard that God has set forth, and he set that standard forth early, very early, right there in the Garden of Eden. And so when we get away from that standard, we have gotten away from God's plan for marriage. We've gotten away from God's plan for the church. We've gotten away from God's plan for a nation. And we get away from God's plan of salvation, which is very distinctly outlined for us, that we are to hear the word of God. We are to believe the word of God. We are to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We are then to repent of our sins, confess the sweet name of Jesus before men, and be baptized into the watery grave of baptism to have those sins washed away. When we do that, we have submitted to God's will, and we will be saved.
Exactly. Now, I believe we're probably going to have more to say about some of this next week. I don't think we've said all we want to say about it. And so if you've got some things you would like to add to this discussion next week, remember that the number is 254-445-2473. We want to sign off by saying, God bless America. God bless our troops.
And we want to thank everyone for their calls today. Great show. Thank you very much.